Welcome to this edition of Apple This Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Apple This Extra podcast. I'm David Nason and today I'm joined by two wonderful guests. One is Alison Hartley on my virtual left. You'll know Alison from lots of podcasts, including That Blind Tech Show, The Tech Doctor podcast, iAccessibility.net, and a podcast all about books called Glomcast. So lots of podcasts that Alison is on, and thanks very much for joining us, Alison.
Thanks for having me.
And we are also joined on my virtual right by Serena Gilbert, who it is her podcast debut. So we'll all welcome Serena to the world of podcasting. And Serena, you will know from AppleViz.com, where she's a member of our blog team and the author of a very popular recent review of the HomePod. So welcome, Serena.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming. And today, the HomePod is exactly what we're talking about today. So on February the 9th, Apple finally launched the HomePod after telling us all about it last year, teasing us with it last year in, I think it was at the iPhone event, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. And so we were
waiting. We waited and waited.
They told us by the end of last year and then it was delayed, but it came out to those of you who are lucky enough to be in the US, Australia, or the UK, at least, on February the 9th, and both of you were among those lucky enough to get your hands on one. So now the dust has settled and the original hype is over. It's late March, so we're talking a month and a half since it's been out. So it's kind of interesting to see over that month now, how has the HomePod settled into your day-to-day routines and how are you finding it now that the dust has settled and the original sort of excitement of playing with it is maybe a little bit past? Are you still loving the device and is it doing everything you want? So that's the plan.
Well, I can say that for me, it has replaced all of my other speakers that I have in the house. Everything that I do, I tend to do on the HomePod now. From the first moment I heard music played on it when I did a binaural unboxing for iAccessibility, I was just entranced with it. And I can say that a month and a half later, it is my go-to speaker. The only thing I use my Sonos speakers now for is Sirius XM radio because it has the skill built right in. But other than that, I use the HomePod for everything from Apple Music to AirPlay and everything in between.
Okay, well, that says a lot. And Sarita, do you want to give us a quick description of what the device actually looks and feels like, I suppose?
I can. So the easiest way that I can describe it is it looks almost like, it feels like a really big pickle jar to me. I don't know if you agree, Alison. But
actually, that's a perfect description. I love it.
It's very, very like sturdy and heavy. Like you probably wouldn't knock it over by accident very easily. And it's just a big circular, like it's got a mesh fabric around the whole thing. And then the top has like a touchscreen on it that virtually has, depending on what's going on, what, four buttons, Alison?
Yeah, it's got the play and the also doubles as the Siri button. It's got the volume mm-hmm. up and the volume down. What's the fourth button? I think it's only three.
I think I was thinking of the play button as a different button than the Siri button. So that's probably why I thought four. So you're probably right.
I think your review says three, actually. Yeah, Serena. I think it's the same button.
It's a beautiful device.
Okay, so it sounds kind of similar, maybe a little bit wider and a little bit shorter than an Amazon Echo for people who have them, but in that a similar kind of size device, kind of a niche.
It's kind of a fat Google Home. It's about the same height as a Google Home, but it's broader.
And easy enough to use. And one of those things that's going to come up, I suppose, that people would have wondered is, you know, are the buttons physical? Are they touch? Are they accessible? All that kind of stuff.
Well, it is a touchscreen on the top, but the thing that impressed me the most is as soon as you plug it in, and if you have an iOS device near it, it automatically will cue you to set it up. And if you have VoiceOver enabled on your phone, it automatically turns on VoiceOver for you.
Oh, wow. That's clever.
Yeah. It's the easiest setup I've ever seen on any device.
Me too. I've set up several smart speakers, a couple of Echoes and a Google Home, and I was up and running with this thing in, I would say, under 2 minutes.
Wow. So is that similar, I guess, to the Apple TV for those who have them, that you kind of tap your phone on the TV and it syncs up settings, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of happening all across the ecosystem with the Apple TV, mm-hmm. even putting two iPhones together or setting up an Apple Watch. That's kind of where it's all going. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy.
So convenient. Yeah, because I have to say, when I setting up my Echo was one of the things that was a bit tricky. You're in a kind of an app that's kind of a web app, kind of with links, and sometimes things go wrong and you're not quite yep. sure what to do. So mm-hmm. I definitely ran into trouble with my Echo. So it's, yeah. I suppose it's what we come to expect from Apple, isn't it? Just really,
it just works, and in this case, it really does. Yeah.
Setups. I always remember getting my first Mac and sitting somebody, a sighted person, down beside me, and the assumption that I was going to need them to help me set it up, and then I was like, oh no, this voiceover thing just came on for me.
Yep.
You can go away now. So, yeah, that's fantastic. So what? What else do you guys have? So you mentioned, I think, a Sonos, was it, Allison?
Yeah, so I actually have the Sonos One speakers that have the Amazon lady, I don't want to say her name, I don't want to trigger everybody's speakers, built into it. And I can tell you that was really, really difficult to set up. I had to go back and forth from the Sonos app to the Amazon A Lady app, and getting it to actually work, particularly because I was setting up two in a stereo pair, I remember it being a rather arduous process, and it was at least a half an hour before I was really up and running with it. Because, you know, you had to have certain things configured within the Amazon app and the Sonos app to make it work together. And then there was a lot of flipping back and forth. It was not intuitive. And now it works fine. But even though I have two Sonos speakers in a stereo pair, I find that the sound of the HomePod for me is richer and fuller, and it fills this high-ceiling living room that we're in usually when we're listening to music much more nicely and completely than the Sonos. The Sonos honestly sounds a little dead compared to the HomePod. And so I can't wait till you can pair two of them together. I'm definitely going to get a second one.
That'll be very cool. That's really interesting to hear, because we hear that comparison of the HomePod compared to, say, the Echo or the Google Home. But even when you're saying compared to a Sonos, which are obviously the market that Apple are really playing in with this.
Yeah, they're eating them for lunch, in my opinion. Yeah, and Sonos are good speakers. I mean, they are still really good speakers. But if you want something that has, you know, built-in support for multiple music platforms, and the Sonos might be the better way to go. But I'm hoping that HomePod will eventually open up and have an app type platform where other platforms, other music services can be compatible then too.
Yeah, and I think that's a theme we'll probably come to in a second. Serena, you have a Bose. Is that your option, a Bose SoundLink?
Yeah, I have like a little, I think it's the Mini that I use at my office at work on my desk. And I thought that sounded amazing, and then got my HomePod and I'm like, whoa, sounds like a little tin can now.
Oh God. And what do you use that? Because then, Allison, you were talking about, you know, the platform and the services. One of the concerns I have, I suppose, because I'm, as an Echo owner, I use a TuneIn radio a lot. Occasionally would listen to my audiobooks on Audible. As well as, previously I'm an Apple Music fan, and now I'm dabbling with the idea of switching over to Spotify in order to fit.
No, my
Echo. Wow. So. No, Spotify is actually really good, and it's possible to use all of those. You won't be able to use Siri to control them, but it is possible to AirPlay to the HomePod. So I have AirPlayed TuneIn and Audible books and podcasts from Overcast, as well as actually YouTube audio from YouTube TV. But boy, does that suck your battery down quickly. anything that can be played as audio on the iPhone can be AirPlayed to the HomePod. So you're really not limited. It's just a different way you have to access the services on the phone, as opposed to using Siri is all.
And like, say, once you're... Sorry, go ahead, Serena.
Well, and the advantage of the AirPlay as well is once, let's say you did change to Spotify. Sorry, I love Apple Music, so I'm a little biased. But let's say you did change to Spotify and you AirPlay it, you can still use like the Siri voice commands to ask questions about the track or skip or pause, those sorts of things. And I like AirPlay as opposed to, let's say, like Bluetooth, because you can still have voiceover coming out of your iOS device while still AirPlaying.
Exactly.
So if you get a text message, it's not this whole arduous process to try to respond to it and things like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. Bluetooth, I never really liked for that reason.
Me neither. I got Bluetooth speakers and then I would always abandon them for that very reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of get irritated. My Jambox back in the day is now sitting in the drawer in my office.
I have to admit, for its time, I loved that thing. It was before I got my Sonos One speakers, I was actually using that exclusively with a big Amazon Echo because you could pair a Bluetooth speaker. So for a time, that was everything.
There is, though, isn't there something magical I found anyway since I got my Echoes about just saying, hey, assistant, play this album. Hey, assistant, play this radio station.
It is pretty amazing because literally you could just be humming a song or thinking of something that you haven't heard in years and within seconds be listening to it. That to me has been the greatest joy of this, rediscovering old music that I forgot about, discovering new music, hearing about, you know, just playing what's popular to get an idea of, is this something that I would like or not? And just having all of that entertainment literally just at the sound of your voice, it's really, really empowering and great.
And I would fear, I'm like, it's crazy that like a couple of years ago, you know, say this sound, when I got a Sonos a few years ago, and it was amazing to have this app that I just opened on my phone and I could play music. And now I think that that's a hassle.
Now it's like, I have to go into the app like an animal and do this thing. Yeah.
So maybe it's a reflection on me, but I just...
I'm the same way. If there is something that isn't supported by voice and I have to go into the app, I find myself getting annoyed. I'm like, taking so long, you know.
It's so funny that you say that because I will literally stand by the HomePod and say the command 4 times if I have to before I'll just take out my app and do what I need to do.
Yep. Same here. Although I find that she responds a lot more readily. I actually turned off HEY Siri on all of my other devices because I found that she was activating on the device that I didn't want her to be on. So I have it exclusively on the HomePod now. And she can hear me if the music's blaring, if I'm in another room. Her microphones are very good.
I've heard that because I would say that's not the case with Echo.
Not at all.
I'm trying to say, you know, assistant, turn the volume down, and ironically, she goes the volume so high she can't hear me. Whereas
I have to shout at her sometimes, or sometimes I have to go right up to her and talk like in her
exactly,
in her face.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
Which is
it's. We have a 2-story house and the HomePod is like in our living room around a corner. And my husband yelled at it from upstairs to stop and it actually worked. I was shocked.
That's frightening.
It's pretty far away. Yeah.
So that's definitely amazing. Awesome. It seems to be what I've heard, one of the big really impressive kind of features of it, that these microphones just somehow, I don't know, filter out the music that they're making themselves and just hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Apple, so you know your privacy is protected. They're not listening in on you. There was a problem with the Sonos One speakers initially where a lady was activating when she shouldn't. And so people were actually able to pull up like recordings that they had inadvertently done of like private meetings they were on and things, all because she was activating without really being summoned. And so that was concerning to me at the beginning, but they do seem to have fixed that some. It seems to be better with recent updates.
But even knowing that that can happen is sort of terrifying.
It's a bit scary, yeah. But I have to say that that Siri does not get accidentally summoned that often. I can only really count only a couple of incidences where she's just said something. But that's the nice thing, because when she's done, she's done, you know?
Mm-hmm. The only time that mine's accidentally activated was my husband said he was home for lunch and the commercial came on for the HomePod.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And it did exact. I mean, it's kind of nice that it worked that nicely because it did play songs that I might like.
Yeah.
Oh God. And it's true as well. That kind of trust issue is going to matter to some people. So, you know, that Apple is the company that a lot of us, I expect a lot of the people listening to this podcast, are, you know, trust when it comes to privacy more so than some of the competitors, I think it's fair to say.
Absolutely.
And Serena, like, do you find that kind of, you listen mostly to Apple Music now, or was that always the case before and or after the iPad?
I've been an Apple Music fan from, what, July 15, 2015, when it came out, or whatever date that was. Because I've always had a little bit of trouble navigating with Spotify because I found that there was like too many buttons to get to what I needed to get to. So I pretty much exclusively listen to Apple Music on that. Every once in a while I'll stream like Pandora, or, I listen to a lot of, described video content on Xero. So every once in a while I'll airplay it to that, but mostly it's just my playlist that I've been building, since I got the HomePod, cause it's so easy to just add stuff to it right from the HomePod.
I like listening to my custom radio stations because, like you, Serena, I am got Apple Music right when it came out on the iOS beta and was building radio stations and everything over the years. So I built up some really good ones to the point where I don't even necessarily use Pandora that much anymore. So now, you know, if I'm just home on a Saturday, I just play my classic rock station and away we go. It's great. Mm.
Some of that stuff is awesome. I actually found, yeah, at one point I thought Spotify was ahead of Apple for that stuff. I don't know if they still are. Certainly for my taste in music, you know, I found Apple Music very heavy on the kind of hip hop and R&B stuff. And that was true of Beats One as well for me. But I don't know if that's probably improved a little bit and they've broadened
things.
They are
pretty good about respecting genre preferences and having a wide selection of all different, because I'm very eclectic. So I listen to a lot of everything. And so I find that no matter what I'm in the mood for, everything from, you know, opera to hip hop, I can find it. Yeah.
And I'd say as well, the app, I think the Spotify app is really good, but the one thing I miss when I'm in the Spotify app is the actions rotor.
That's exactly why I prefer I'm sorry, David.
So that's why I have to admit, I'd be like, the part of me that says, no, I have two Echoes and I love them, they're great. And then there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, but I kind of want a HomePod. And, you know, I'm already much more invested in Apple Music, so it's going to be work if I was to switch to Spotify, whereas I'm already so invested in Apple Music and I have playlists already made, all that kind of stuff. So,
well, I say there's always room for one more smart speaker in your life and in your home.
And I do as well. I have to admit, when they bring other services, it'll help. Like, not more so things like, I'd say 50% of the music listening I do at home on my speaker would be on TuneIn Radio, you know, to kind of local stations and so on. So,
cool.
And podcasts, do you guys have you used that at all? And how's that experience?
Podcasts I found are a little bit tricky on the HomePod. I especially have difficulty queuing up a podcast using Siri. If I tell it to play Apple Viz, it'll always play some other random Apple podcast. I don't know, Allison, if you've had that same difficulty.
I've had a lot of trouble. Like, I like a BBC radio drama called The Archers, and I could tell it play today's episode of The Archers. But if I'm behind and I want it to play yesterday's episode, it just falls over. It can't do that. And I don't find that I like Apple podcasts very much anyway on the phone, because I don't like the limitations and speed that you have. So I tend to airplay from Overcast, my podcast client of choice, because then I can play exactly what I want at whatever speed I want and as many episodes as I want. I listen to a daily radio talk show, again, that has multiple segments per day, and I can't get it to play on Siri on the HomePod in the order that I want, and that's really, really problematic.
Okay, yeah. It's interesting. In fairness, I don't know about Google Home, but certainly the Echo, I don't believe has any real capability around podcasts, unless you're using a skill, maybe the Spotify skill might, you know, they have some podcasts in Spotify and that kind of thing, but I would use Downcast as still my choice. So I just don't listen to podcasts on the speakers for the most part. So it's good to know that option. I do use Audible though, so I suppose you guys could airplay that though. So.
Oh yeah, I do it all the time.
And do you guys use, because I remember one of the things I kind of like, I think some of the stuff in the Echo can be, you know, the little games and stuff, the novelty maybe wears off, but I do like the little, you know, flash briefing, giving my news for today. I think HomePod has that, doesn't it?
Yeah, here in the US, you can get Washington Post, you can tell it to read you the news from Washington Post, CNN, Fox News, or NPR. I don't know internationally what's available.
Yeah, I think it's BBC in the UK anyway.
Yeah, but they're getting better. They're getting kind of caught up with Amazon and Google in that regard.
Oh, cool. Does that kind of match up with your Apple News app in any kind of way, or?
It actually plays the most recent podcast from whatever the news source is. Yeah. And that's what all the other platforms do as well. It just pulls those most recent podcasts. So it's the same.
Oh, cool. Have you used that at all, Serena, those kind of features?
I have. The only problem I've noticed with it is if I'm up at like 7 in the morning, and I'm not sure if it's all the sources, but it does tend to play the day before's briefing instead of that morning's briefing.
It can do that, yeah. And that happened to me with a couple of sources.
It's a great little feature, though. I love it, I have to say, on the Echo, just that kind of 5-minute or 2-minute or whatever number of sources I decide to use.
Yeah.
Just quick catch-up. And smarts beyond that, I suppose we should talk about, because it's probably been the biggest criticism of the HomePod, I think, and it's probably going to be yours, is Siri.
You know, Siri has the potential to be so great, but right now she's getting trounced by Google and Amazon, just absolutely trounced. I find that she's a little bit better in terms of dictation and stuff for text messages on the HomePod. But other than that, I mean, it's still Siri, and there are still some ridiculous limitations in terms of the types of information that you can access, in terms of, you know, having what you would consider to be a more natural type conversation where you're asking follow-up questions, the I looked for this on the web for you dreaded thing.
Yeah.
On Siri, it's like, I can't do that on HomePod, it says, I can't do that on HomePod, so you'll have to do it on your phone. And so it's a pile on the phone and it's a pile on HomePod.
So Allison is a fan of Siri.
So I've had some of the same difficulties. I mean, there's been times where I just get so frustrated with it, I'm just yelling at it. I mean, it's embarrassing because I'm so spoiled, but it's like, why aren't you answering the question that I'm asking or playing the song that I said? And I found that when using Siri sometimes to play songs, if the song's not in your library, it's a lot harder for it to find sometimes. I don't know if you've had that, Allison.
I have not, but for the things that it's very easy to do on Google Home, to ask a question about something, for example, and then ask follow-up questions, like finding out about a historical figure and then when did he die or something like that. I find that it falls down spectacularly on that, but in general, playing songs is okay. Sometimes it will just think I said something completely different and will try to play something, just I'm like, that's not even remotely what I asked you for. But
and can you say something like, you know, you want to play a particular artist there, but you can't remember the name of the album. Could you sort of say, ask her, you know, what are the albums by this band, and then pick one? Or
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't tried that actually either.
Me neither.
Interesting, because like, and I would agree with you guys that like Siri is a mystery, sort of. Well, I think the dream would be just all the devices just work the same, that you could ask Siri the same questions on any of the devices, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think Apple needs to get serious, though, about this, because people have choice. And in terms of accessibility, there's a lot more parity now, particularly in the mobile device space between iOS and Android. And I say this as a dyed-in-the-wool Apple fangirl. People have choices, and having a good virtual assistant is going to weigh into the choice that somebody might make.
Definitely, definitely. And like, even on Apple TV in Ireland, for some reason that I still can't fathom, there's no Siri on Apple TV. You know, we have it on every other device since launch, but they just never brought it to Apple TV.
And it's unfortunate.
Those little things just, you know, frustrate you. And I'm sure, you know, if HomePod if you're asking a questions that you know Siri on your phone can answer, you kind of must be like, why you have this?
Yeah.
So I can definitely understand the
that
there'd be frustration there.
Definitely. But we can only hope that it's going to get better. I think that hopefully now, you know, I'm hearing rumors that Apple might be starting to take it a little bit more seriously and understand, you know, especially now with HomePod, them wanting it to be everywhere, with the Siri API hopefully going to be opening up more, that we'll be able to do more.
Yeah.
I think.
Go ahead.
I think that that is why Siri is not the assistant lady, because that one is very much so open source. Anybody who wants to make a skill for it can. And that's what makes it the best, honestly, is that it must not be very difficult, because I can't think of anything that doesn't have a skill for me.
Yep.
That's very true. And it, you know, to be fair, Apple has always marketed the HomePod since September, really, as firstly a music device.
But do you remember at WWDC when they introduced it, though, they said, I remember it because I was a dork and watched the keynote.
Oh, I do as well. That's like, I'll rush home from work to get to the
I streamed it at work, you know.
I took the day off.
If only I could plan enough in advance. But I remember them, and I don't remember which person it was that introduced it, but I remember them specifically saying, you pay this much for a smart speaker, you pay this much for a good audio speaker, so this is why we're pricing it at this price. Mm-hmm. So the way that they were advertising it, at least initially, was that it was supposed to be the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, good point. A good point, well made. And I suppose to be with Apple, sometimes they'll get there, but they're sometimes slow to roll these things out. So like we've seen with Siri on the phone, that it's only probably, was it last year, we finally got some, maybe it was 2016, some form of Siri API, and even that is still quite limited.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of it's a slow build up, but maybe once this is probably one of the big major development areas for the HomePod, but it probably will come.
I hope so, because they can't afford, other companies are moving too fast. They can't afford to rest on their laurels anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Google have already come, and from what I've heard, the HomePod still is far superior in terms of audio to the Google Max, but Google are at least trying to say, well, we're going to try and do both. And it could be a matter of time before Amazon could do the same thing, you know, and say,
yeah.
And obviously their partnership with Sonos means they kind of, in a sense, are...
Yeah, they already are. There's very little that you can't do on the Sonos One. There are a few limitations, but most of the things you can do on the regular Echo, you can do on the Sonos One.
Yeah. Are there any skills from the Echo that you kind of miss? You mentioned SiriusXM. Is there anything else that you'd miss that you'd kind of love to have on your HomePod that you currently have on with the A lady?
Trying to think. Really, SiriusXM is the big one for me right now. I like randomly having Alexa sing me a song. She comes up with some ridiculous things every now and then. But I have to say that in terms of skills, I haven't used as many as I thought I would. Part of that, I think, is because we're renting right now and don't have any kind of smart home devices to control. I think that if we end up buying a house and I have a chance to delve more into that, then I will probably use both and compare and contrast. I won't be getting rid of my Sonos speakers anytime soon, but certainly for music, it's all HomePod.
It's all HomePod. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you using any smart stuff yourself, Serena?
No. Ever since, because I was actually on the verge of buying two Echoes. Gosh, maybe it was a few months after they announced the HomePod at WWDC. Because they had run a special where you got basically two for the price of one for like a couple hours or something. And then I missed out on it. And then I decided, well, I will just wait for the HomePod. So I was waiting for that, knowing that I wouldn't, if I already had an Echo, I wouldn't want to buy a HomePod, and then I'd be jealous. Have the fear of missing out thing going on. So
do you have any like light bulbs or spark plugs or door locks, any of that kind of stuff going on?
No, I want to buy some smart plugs because I have a couple of torch lamps in our living room. that I'd like to be able to just tell them to turn on, and because I'm just lazy and don't want to walk up to each one. And then after that, I'd like to get a smart thermostat, because we do not have an accessible thermostat. So it's just the guessing game when you turn it up.
Oh, yeah. I know all about that.
I'm in the same place as you there. And I think it looks like probably, you know, there's so many of those things now are HomeKit enabled that I would imagine HomePod is going to perform pretty well in that space.
One thing I have noticed about the HomeKit devices doing some research is that the ones that specifically say that they work with HomeKit are usually a lot more expensive than the ones that work with the A-Lady.
Okay.
Significantly more.
You're into Apple tax territory again.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate because supposedly they've lowered the cost of becoming MFI certified. So hopefully eventually that will reflect in some less expensive products.
Yeah, I hope so. Because it is so convenient to just say turn on the heating, or you know, turn off that light or what have you. From the comfort of your couch or your bed sometimes when you just don't want to have to get up. So cool. And the last actual thing as well that I don't know if you guys heard, these rumors of a sort of HomePod Mini. Any quick thoughts on likelihood of that, or whether it's something you think you might be interested in as a second HomePod?
Oh no, if I'm going to get a second HomePod, I'm going to wait for AirPlay 2 and get another big one.
Another big one for your, to join them up, was it? Audio
pair? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of would like a Mini, especially if it didn't have to get plugged in, because we listen to music all the time when we're getting ready in the morning in our bathroom. Uh-huh. And right now I feed the cord dangerously around a sink. Oh, and, you know. So, I mean, if there was a Mini one that truly could be wireless, I would actually be pretty interested in it just for keeping it in the bathroom.
Oh, if it was portable, I would probably get it for a bathroom speaker, but it would have to be portable.
Exactly.
That part occurred to me, actually. That's a very cool idea. And even, you know, maybe you're having a barbecue in the summer or something, and you just want to bring it out and leave it on the table in the middle of the garden. Mm-hmm. So, that would be very cool. And I'd wonder, like, what it'll look like in terms of price versus quality. If their main selling point is the quality of it, how do they bring the, you know, how do they match that with it making a cheaper one? So
I heard between $2 and $2.50, anywhere in that price range.
And will the
US,
you know, how the audio then compares to the competitors?
That'll be interesting.
It'll be very interesting.
If you're gonna pay $2.50 though, you might as well just get the whole thing for $2.50.
That's kind of where I'm coming from too.
Because I want one, but I don't want one. Because a part of me says, okay, I have two Echoes and a lot of change for the price of one HomePod. But at the same time, if you're living in this Apple universe, you know, and you're pretty much using, you know, Apple services and most of your devices are Apple, the HomePod seems like a bit of a home run.
But what I would say is I bet your two Echoes don't give you, I'm sure they give you good enough sound, but the quality of sound that you are going to get from one HomePod, I can't really even begin to describe how amazing the 3D audio immersion is. I mean, when I go, we have our home is a pretty open floor plan. And when I go from the living room to the kitchen to the dining room, the sound kind of follows me and kind of adapts to where I am. And that's something when I had a bigger Echo, even when I had it paired to a nicer speaker, I didn't get that. So if you were really, really into high fidelity, high quality, full, just kind of fill your environment with beautiful sound audio, then the HomePod is going to beat those two Echoes hands down.
Yeah, I guess I tell myself the Echo is good enough because I don't think it's poor sound. I think, you know, I think it's quite good. But yeah, like you say, it's probably, if I put it side by side a HomePod, I'd probably notice a difference.
Well, it's so interesting that you say that, Allison, because I remember so vividly when you guys did the unboxing, and I'm not sure who was on the podcast with you, but one of the guys was like, I'm sold just by the startup sound.
Yeah, it makes a beautiful bassy sound.
And it's bassy, and it, like, I mean, when our HomePod is downstairs, I can go upstairs and the bass on the song that is playing is rocking like the house. I'm not even exaggerating.
Yeah.
For such a
small device. It's powerful.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And not even at full blast.
Nope.
It'll be maybe 60-65%.
Yeah, I keep mine anywhere from like, you know, 35-50%, depending on what I'm listening to. And it fills the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have your verdicts changed then? It's been, you know, a month, you know, what you would have told people a month ago about whether or not a HomePod is a good buy for you. Has anything changed, or are we still in the same place?
Well, I came into this because if anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that I kind of went back and forth about buying the HomePod. I had just about convinced myself, like you, David, that I don't need this. I have my Sonos. I'm doing okay. Then it became the day before pre-orders. And everybody was talking about their pre-orders. I'm like, well, crap. Now I have to pre-order one because otherwise I'm gonna have some serious FOMO, fear of missing out. Yeah. So I did, and I was just blown away. So I came at it from the perspective of a total skeptic, not really knowing, you know, if I was gonna maybe keep it or how good it was really going to be. I thought it can't be as good as they say. It can't possibly be. And it was better.
That's kind of where I am. Like, it can't be that.
it really is, though. I can tell you, from someone who has been right where you are, it will blow your mind.
Wow, that's amazing. So you're still a strong supporter then?
Yes.
Sarita, I know you mentioned in your review originally, obviously, the likes of Android users are out, and if you really want voice control of other services, then you have to seriously think about it. And obviously, if price are the kind of the things, is that essentially still your kind of opinion, that on the whole you love it, but not necessarily for everybody?
So here's my story. I got it for Valentine's Day as a gift. I was super excited about it, but then I started having all these doubts because Siri obviously wasn't what I wanted her to be. And I almost returned it.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I almost returned it because I was like, I don't understand why I can't do all these great things, like, you know, the Echo can do and all these things. Because some of the skills that I've heard about is that you can literally like tell Echo to play a song just by kind of singing it and it'll figure it out. And I was so jealous of that.
You can do that, yeah.
But then I ultimately decided that everything that is around me is Apple. I have a MacBook. I have an Apple TV. I mean, everything. And my husband was like, you're going to be jealous if, you know, there's an update and it gets better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still like I said in my blog post, like if you have Apple devices and you don't already have some smart speakers that you're happy with, I'd totally go for it because it really does work seamlessly with your iOS devices. And I believe it connects with your Mac and iTunes and all that too. So even if you had like a Windows computer, you could play via AirPlay to the HomePod.
Yeah, it apparently works great as a speaker for your TV if you have an Apple TV or what have you.
So it's just kind of a personal decision, and you know, if you're Android, I do it. You're correct, David. I don't know that you're going to see as much benefit from the HomePod. Mm.
But I suspect most people listening to this are not Android users. So for
just a hunch.
Just a hunch. So it sounds like a great buy. And I guess it's just a matter of how much you listen to music, how much that audio quality is going to be worth it versus the price. And then, you know, those kind of the smarts. If you really are buying a smart speaker for the smarts rather than for the music, then maybe the Echo is still in the lead for you. But if it's mostly about the music, then, and you can afford it, maybe the HomePod is a great buy.
I would agree with that for sure.
Cool. And any final thoughts on the HomePod, or
have we made you jealous yet?
Yeah. Do you want one?
I do. I have the lucky position of the, in a sense, my bank account, I should say, has the fortunate position that it's not yet available here. That said, the United Kingdom is 200 kilometers up the road, so it's probably not that difficult to get one. But yeah. We shall see. I suspect in a year's time I may have one, but for the time being, I will stick to my guns and say, no, the Echo's fine.
Just keep telling yourself.
That didn't even sound convincing. Yeah,
Apple always break me down eventually. So
Well, the thing about Apple to remember too is that typically, and I don't know how soon a second generation HomePod will come around, but when it does, the original one always does go down in price.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. Usually pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say watch this space.
Yep.
And yeah, I think we can safely leave it there and say thanks you so much to both of you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
And
yeah. Thanks for thinking of me. This was my very first podcast.
Sarita, so where can people find you online? Are you on Twitter or, and obviously on Applebee's and other blogs?
You can find me on Twitter at BlindyBlog. That's BlindyBlog. I'm also on Facebook under that same handle.
Cool. And Allison, and of course you're Sarita on writing on Applebee's.com as part of the blog team.
Of course.
And Allison, remind us of the many places online people can find yourself.
You can find me contributing content to iaccessibility.net. You can go to dr-carter.com to subscribe to the Tech Doctor podcast. You can subscribe to Blind Abilities to get that blind tech show. And for the Glomcast, I'm still in the process of getting it into the iTunes directory. So you can find out about that and find out about any other projects that I might be doing by following me on Twitter at Hot4Technology. That's Hot, the number 4 technology.
Great stuff. My name again is Dave Nason, and you can find me on Twitter at DavidNason1, DAVIDN for November, ASON. One and on applebiz.com. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And thanks
for
listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to another episode of Applebiz Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applebiz.com. Follow us on Twitter at Applebiz and like us on Facebook.